podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az, I am riding solo today. I've done so many of these team reveals, team selections, whatever you want to call them, over pre-season. It's probably only fair that I do mine. You might have seen it on Black Box. It has changed a little bit since then. I'm a bit concerned that I'm doing exactly what I said I wouldn't do. I'm making changes, even after doing the Black Box, which 2 years in a row, I've made changes, and the team I presented on the stream did a lot better. So I'm conscious that it's going to happen again, but at the same time, it's very hard not to tinker at this late stage. And also, it's Fest tomorrow as well. I hope I'm not going to get talked into some other stuff as well, but we will see. I'm recording this on Thursday. It's 8 minutes past one. I think I'll be putting this out tomorrow morning. So Friday morning, which is obviously the big day when we get all the press conferences and news, and there might be some other stuff that's broken, all that kind of thing. So just as a bit of a disclaimer, I've also called this a team reveal. I can't fully commit to things. I'm going to talk about the players that are definitely locks in my side. I'm going to be a little bit less sure on some players because I've already made some changes. So take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt. I can commit to the formation, though, which I'll present in a second. It's just some of the personnel which might be in and out. I just want to say thank you everyone for your support over the pre-season. I think we've done some really, really good content. Harry's come on board, you know, Andy and Praz as well. Ted's been back to doing videos. This week we've had Burning Questions with Praz and Snaldo. The captaincy video with Joe, the Scout Cast, absolutely excellent. If you haven't checked that out, do so. Andy's hosting with Joe and Seb, you know, all new kind of graphics and different kind of format, the way that's working. And yeah, genuinely, I'm really happy with how things on the channel are going. So if you have enjoyed the preseason content, do make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Give this video a like as well. Drop me some comments and, you know, let the guys know if you've enjoyed all the stuff. But for now, let's get into my team reveal. Yeah, like I said, few things that could change, but genuinely speaking, I'm sort of relatively happy. So let's go straight into it. This is the team on the screen. It's the classic 4 million goalkeeper double up. I can't ever remember doing that before in FPL. It's Iverson and Ward right down there. It's Trent, Robertson, Cancelo, Perisic and Dean. It's Salah captain, De Bruyne, Kulusevski, Neto, Gabriel Jesus. And then on the bench, it's Andreas Pereira and the mighty 4.5 forwards of Archer and Greenwood. So let's start at the back then. I talked on Black Box with Luke yesterday about the double up, Iverson and Ward. I know 70% of people from the poll I did aren't sold on that idea of having the cheapest double up. A lot of people still going for Ramsdale, Mendy, still seeing some Edisons in people's sides. I think they're all viable. I think what isn't viable at the moment is a 4.5 goalkeeper. I can't see a 4.5 goalkeeper that I want to keep even for 6 or 7 weeks. I think Sanchez has got his issues, doesn't make too many saves. I'm a bit worried about Brighton's, you know, short-term potential and long-term potential with Cucurella leaving, although we don't really know if he's going to go. Brighton have said no, but I'm sure he is going to leave at some stage in the transfer window. Bissouma's gone as well. I think we could be a bit more leaky this season, so we'll kind of see how that goes. So I think he's out. Raya has obviously got competition now from the other goalkeeper from Lazio that they've signed. Really, really top quality goalkeeper. I imagine Raya stays as first choice, but a couple of mistakes, a couple of slip-ups, and I think he could be out, and you're stuck with kind of no one. I mean, the good thing is, you know, with Raya, is that if you go for Ward, who we think is going to be the first choice, Leicester goalkeeper, you've got that kind of backup. But then you could go for Raya and Ward and end up losing out to the new Brentford goalkeeper and Iverson coming in, for example. So it's not without its kind of risks. Obviously, with the 4 million double up, there is the risk that Leicester just go out and buy another goalkeeper. This has been sort of mooted by a few accounts I've seen on Scout and on Twitter. I think this is really unlikely. They paid over £12 million for Ward. He was always there to be backup for Schmeichel. Iverson was at Preston. He had a good season for them in the Championship. I think he's a good backup to Ward now. And Ward's a good goalkeeper. He hasn't played much in pre-season. I wouldn't be surprised to see Iverson start the first game, but then Ward to come in after that. I think given that Leicester don't have a huge amount of money to spend, I don't think the goalkeeper is going to be the priority for them. And I think that's why they've allowed Schmeichel to go on. They've got faith in these two goalkeepers. What's going to be really key for them is if they can hold on to some of their other assets. Fafana's been linked with away, but he's on a long contract. I think he stays. They're going to have to pay a lot of money to prize him away. Does Maddison stay? You know, Tielemans wants out. Big player in that midfield. You know, they could be decimated by the end of the transfer window. That's the big concern. But for me, for 4 million, to have a starting goalkeeper for any team for 4 million, I think is worth it. I mean, you look at Schmeichel last season, he got 3 points less than Ramsdale over the whole season. So, you know, it's a million difference between them. I am expecting Arsenal to do well in the kind of first few games, you know, especially after the first two when their fixtures get really nice. But, you know, Leicester have Brentford, they have Southampton, they can make saves against some of the top sides. Is there going to be 15 to 20 points difference after six game weeks between, you know, Ward and Ramsdale and even Edison? I'm not convinced there is, and I'm backing Leicester to actually surprise a few people at the start of the season. So I'm happy with that 4 million double up. So what does that mean? Look, I've got a little lock emoji. There he goes. Iverson. Have we got one for Ward? Oh, no, spoilers. There's one for Trent as well. So I'm happy with the Iverson and Ward double up. I'll definitely be starting with that. I think it's a great opportunity to take money out of goalkeeper and not worry about it. Trent, well, I'm just going to put a lock emoji on him straight away. I have seen a couple of teams without him in. I have got some friends who play FPL. They are from uni. A few of them sent me teams without Trent in. First advice, get Trent in. You know, if you're watching this and you're thinking of trying to be clever, maybe you're going for Robertson or Van Dijk, trying to save a bit of money. You read these things, you watch these streams. Everyone's got Trent in for a reason. The fixtures are so nice. He's on free kicks. He's on corners. He scored at the Community Shield. There's nothing else you could want for 7.5. He will be the top scoring sub 8 million player in the game without question. So just definitely get him in. Robertson's a bit of a more contentious one. I know that obviously people are looking at Salah and Trent. That's the two. And then it's that kind of third spot. Darwin Nunez is becoming popular. 20% of teams. He's in now. Diaz, his stock has fallen a little bit. He's gone from sort of 30% owned to down to 20%, but still really popular. Robertson for me, though, still flying under the radar. He looks so good in that Community Shield. He looks fit. He looks up for it. He looks attacking. He had a header at the near post. You just know what you're going to get with Robertson. And I'm just not sure we know that with Nunez and Diaz. I think Diaz is unquestionably a huge talent. He's going to make Liverpool a better team. He was so good when he signed sort of last season. I think he's going to fit effortlessly into whatever frontline they play. But from an FPL perspective, does he have that clinical edge that we saw Mane have? Is he someone who can get close to 200 points? I'm not so sure that he can. You know, I think he's going to be getting around 150, 160 this season, whereas Robertson, I think, can get to 200 if they with those clean sheets as well. And he costs a bit less. I just really like him at 7 million. So Robertson, he's my second lock. I'm definitely going with him. I did toy with the idea of Diaz in previous drafts, but I'll definitely be starting the season with Robertson. Cancelo's the third one. I'm just going to put a lock emoji on him straight away as well. Really, really easy pick. For me, you want to tap into that Man City defence. That the fixtures are just so, so good. Yeah, there's question marks around, you know, the kind of the strength they've got actually in defence. You know, with Vincent Zinchenko leaving, with Cucurella not coming at this time of speaking. Their back four picks themselves, Stones and Laporte, haven't played at all pre-season. Laporte's injured. Stones, I guess, could come back in if he is fit. But I think we're looking at a Walker, Cancelo, Ake and Diaz backline, the same one that started in the Community Shield. When you look at those three players, Cancelo just offers so much more than they do. I mean, again, we talk about 200-point defenders. I think 200 points is the minimum we can expect for Cancelo this season. I think he underperforms. He took such a massive step up last season. It's going to be even better this year. I think he can really rival Trent as being that kind of, you know, elite level defender. So, you know, doesn't have the set pieces, but I don't think it matters just with the level that he shoots. So I would just advise people to start with him. I think you could go down to Diaz. I think you could get Walker in alongside him. I think at 5 million, Walker is a good option and an actual option now that Cucurella hasn't gone. But I just wouldn't be messing around with Cancelo. I think, you know, he could be a player who just starts regularly hitting double digit points, and even when he doesn't, he's going to be getting regular sixes. So again, for 7 million, you know, one of the best kind of better value players in the game. Now Perisic is an interesting one. He's my next one. I have to wait and see whether I'll put a lock emoji on him. There's a comment from Ben Dinnery earlier Now, his first line in this comment was interesting. Sessegnon could get the nod in game week one. So that's not a direct quote. That's from Ben himself. And the quote from Conte is, now for Perisic, it's important to get back to his best physical condition. Against Roma, I made him play from the beginning to make him familiar with the pace of the match and with his teammates. He is not yet at 100%. Okay, so ignoring Ben's comment at the start, it is important for Perisic to get back to his best physical condition. I made him play against Roma to get familiar with the pace of the match and with his teammates. Well, Perisic isn't going to get familiar with paces of matches and with his teammates if he's not playing. And they've got Chelsea in game week two. So I can't understand why he would start and play 75 minutes in a pre-season game, not start against Southampton, which is a perfect game to get some rhythm and get some minutes in. What, he plays 15, 20 minutes in that, comes off the bench? What, and then he starts against Chelsea in such an important game? I'm not buying it. I think he starts against Southampton. I really do. I think, you know, Sessegnon is a great player in his own right, but Perisic is miles ahead in terms of ability. And, you know, you either assume that Perisic doesn't start game week one and starts game week two against Chelsea. I mean, he definitely starts that game week two game against Chelsea. So I just think he needs minutes. And he's a naturally fit player. Conte's hinted at that before. He's not 100%, but that's because of a lack of match fitness. How else do you get match fitness other than play matches? I think he starts. He's putting a lot of people off, which I like. Not for me. He's locked in. I if he doesn't start, if he comes on for 20 minutes, I'll take it. I want him long term. You know, I'll just take it on the chin. But my gut feeling is that Perisic starts in this game. Team news will be out later today. This is going out on Friday. So we might have more comments. We're interested to get Neil's opinion on that as well. I imagine Neil might play on the safe side and not put him in. But I'm backing Perisic to start in that game. Now, the fifth defender spot is interesting. I had James on the stream I did last night, or Wednesday night with Luke. And I've kind of swapped things around a little bit. I've gone for that 5 million defender sort of bracket. There's a few players here that I'm considering. So I can't put the lock emoji on Dean. I'm looking at Gabriel. I like those first two games, Palace and Leicester being so weak at set pieces, and then a really, really good run of fixtures. Kind of covers all the Ramsdale owners as well. Great goal threat that he's got too, and they've looked solid pre-season, so I'm considering him. I'm looking at Walker as well. The problem with Walker is that I can't move for another City attacker for that Bournemouth game if I do get that, because like we'll talk about in a minute, I've got De Bruyne and Cancelo already in place. Trippier, I like the look of him as well. You know, I think he's a really nice option at five. There's plenty of options in this kind of bracket that I like the look of. So I think I am going to start with 1 5 million defender. At the moment, it's Dean. I like the look of that Bournemouth game. I think it's going to be a bit of a walkover for Villa, given the injuries that Bournemouth have got. Then it's Everton at home, his old club. I like that as well. Then it gets quite tough. But I'm not really looking at defenders in the same way as I have done in previous seasons. In previous seasons, I thought, okay, I don't want to be making defender transfers. But I'm looking at defenders as attackers now because of the attacking options that they give. So Dean is one that isn't quite as attacking as the others, but obviously still has good potential with two good fixtures. He might be a transfer, not necessarily locked in 100%. I mean, they've got Palace in game week three. It's not a terrible fixture, but he might be someone that I could then move on to an Arsenal defender in game week three. So if I have to keep him, it's not the end of the world. If I, you know, have a transfer and I can use it, then I can take him out and not feel too bad about it. So I prefer Dean over Cash. I think Cash is very good, very attacking. But Dean, I think, is just so nailed down on that left-hand side. And his crossing is going to be absolutely vital for Gerrard and the way he wants to play. So, you know, he came in sort of halfway through last season. It's always difficult to adapt to a new team. He's had this pre-season now. He's much less owned than Cash. As well, and I think there's going to be more attacks going down that left-hand side for Villa this season. So Dean is currently in the target of that Bournemouth game. In midfield, Salah. Yeah, I mean, let's not mess around. I know Mark is adamant that he's not going to start with him, but I think it's completely the wrong play. I think, you know, whatever way you do it, if you take out Salah for another premium like Son or Kane, I think Salah's better than all of them. I think Salah's still the best option in the game and worth the million extra. I think if you take that money, you spread the funds around. I haven't seen a team in which people have done that, which I've thought, oh, they've done so much with that. I think there's good options, you know, cheaper down the list. I think, you know, you can easily build a team without needing to have a load of, you know, kind of mid-priced players everywhere. So I haven't been sold on that idea at all, and on either direction, and Salah is just an absolute lock and the best captain, I think, this week. So yeah, not going anywhere near my team, going anywhere near well, not going anywhere near my team, not going anywhere, not going anywhere from my team. De Bruyne is an interesting one. Next, I had Son in originally. Obviously, they're the same price. Son to target that Southampton game, which I think could be a really good match for them. I listened to Praz and Sinaldo on Burning Questions yesterday, and Praz is starting with Haaland, not considering Kane, for example. I'm less sure about Kane and less sure about Haaland, which is why I would rather go for either Son or De Bruyne. I think Son up against that high line of Southampton is really nice. I think De Bruyne's got the pre-season minutes, the match fitness. He looks really sharp. He's playing just off the striker as well. So I prefer that kind of, you know, switch if I was going to make that. But Praz is kind of talking me into just starting with De Bruyne, not booking in that transfer for game week two, hoping for a bit of variance and that De Bruyne can kind of come close. I mean, at the end of the day, it's Kevin De Bruyne playing for City. You never know what could happen. So I think I'm leaning towards starting with De Bruyne now. That takes me to Kulusevski as well. By downgrading James down to a 5 million defender, that lets me basically get an 8 million midfielder, which is a bracket that I really like the look of. I mean, there's lots of players I could consider here, as you all know. You know, there's Saka, there's Mount. I can't go for Diaz, obviously, because I've got the three Liverpool. And there's Kulusevski. Now, Richarlison's banned for game week one. Kulusevski comes in on the right. I'm not convinced that Richarlison is a huge threat to Kulusevski's place, like a lot of people seem to think. I think Kulusevski gives that kind of balance if they do adopt that system. I think he can play more centrally as well if they go to other systems. I'm expecting Kulusevski to start the majority of games that he's available for Spurs. I'm happy to play him in game week one. This also gives me the option of maybe moving him to a Mahrez or a Foden to target a double Man City midfield in that Bournemouth game. So I think quite a few people are going to find it hard to have triple City. I mean, obviously, if you've got Kane and you're moving to Haaland, that's one transfer. You know, and if you've got Cancelo, you've got that in. If you've got Walker, you're not going to move for those double attackers if you've already got them in place. I think we're going to see the majority of people going into that Bournemouth game with one attacker and with Cancelo, Walker or Edison or something like that. So to have two attackers, I think, puts me in quite a strong position if I want to do that. So it's not booking in a transfer, really, because I think if Kulusevski does well against Southampton, I might just keep him. He's got Chelsea and a decent run of games, and Conte isn't going to mess around with that if he's playing well and doing well. If he doesn't look right, if he gets subbed off early or something like that, then I've got that option to move over to a Foden or a Mahrez and just see how City's set up in that first game. So, yeah, I quite like that idea. Neto, a lot of people get being put off Neto. Obviously, Jimenez is out. I haven't locked Kulusevski, by the way. I'm not completely sure on that. I might end up with a Mount, or I might even just go for Foden straight away. Kind of depends on some of the comments tomorrow. But at the moment, he's sort of semi-locked in my side. Neto, I think, is a lock. I think I gave him a lock, did I? No, I didn't. I didn't give him a lock. That's the reason I didn't give him a lock was because I am kind of considering Bailey for that kind of fourth option. I think Neto is more nailed on long term now. I think Bailey could end up missing out. It's only two really good games for Villa, whereas Neto has a better system. There's also more players to kind of run to if he doesn't do well, you know, in the kind of 5.5 bracket, or even if I could find a bit of money and move up to Martinelli, for example. So I'm sick with Neto. He's playing up front. You know, Wolves aren't great, but Leeds aren't great either. I think, you know, when you're, I love out of position players. I love watching midfielders play up front, and, you know, for 5.5, you know, mid to be playing up front, doesn't matter who they're playing for. I think it's great. I mean, maybe Mbomo was the exception, but he did look good when you watched him, you know, hit the post a lot. Could have had more points than he did. I think Neto could be an early season bandwagon. If he was 6 million, I think that would put a lot of people off, but 5.5, that's too good to pass up, really. He is, I mean, you talk about Mbomo, I mean, Neto is several leagues above Mbomo in terms of ability. He's an absolutely fantastic talent, and, you know, Wolves have done well to hold on to him. I think, you know, maybe him getting that injury has helped, because there hasn't been too much interest in him that I've seen. But I think he's going to get a big move somewhere at some point, and I think this could be a really, really big season for him if he can stay fit. Gabriel Jesus is next. I mean, he's got the lock. I don't love him, if I'm being honest. I think 75% most owned player ever in FPL. I think it's absolutely crazy. I think it just says a lot more about the striker options that we've kind of got available to us, you know, in our side. There's four strikers that people are considering, you know, which kind of says a lot. And that's Kane, that's Haaland, that's Gabriel Jesus. And then it's Greenwood. They're the four kind of 20% owned plus players. Other than that, it's, you know, going right the way down to, you know, Vardy's 6%. You've got Watkins down at 4%. You know, you've got so many players who just no one's going near. Ivan Toney. You know, there could be options that emerge. But I think Jesus is so attractive because he, if you're not going for Haaland or Kane, he's a good price playing for a good team with good fixtures. Why would you go down to someone else when you can have that? It doesn't make much sense to me. So for anyone considering a 5-4-1, you know, who isn't making that Kane to Haaland switch? And the problem with Haaland as well is, you know, if he's got these injuries and he's going to be your only striker, is there a worry that he doesn't play and you know, and you get a false nine, you know, Foden coming in at false nine, and then you don't have a striker, or you're relying on Archer or Greenwood off the bench? I think it's a gamble. So Jesus or Kane for me, if you're playing kind of this formation with one striker and 2 4.5s, he's going to play every minute, every game. You know, he might play on the left a bit, he might play on the right. You don't know where he's going to play, but he's definitely going to play. And I don't think he's going to get huge returns this season. I have my doubts about him a little bit. I mean, obviously, he's had the best pre-season of any player, which is why his ownership's so high. But yeah, I do think this could be someone who falls in price. But I think in this case, I'd rather be on the side of, you know, backing him. I can't think of too many negatives against him, other than the fact that it's Gabriel Jesus and he hasn't really hit huge heights despite playing for Man City, and I'm expecting that output and that XGI to decrease for Arsenal. But yeah, we'll see. On the bench, I mentioned Ward, Pereira, Archer and Greenwood. I don't need to go into too much detail about these. It is obviously a huge gamble with two non-playing 4.5 forwards. I don't love that. You know, and especially with the likes of Perisic and Kulusevski, you know, there could be some kind of issues there. But I think, generally speaking, all the players in my side are pretty nailed on. Perisic needs minutes. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to be auto subbed out. He's either going to start or he's definitely going to come on at some point. They're not going to go into that Chelsea game with him not playing. So I think the chances of me needing the bench this week are going to be pretty low. And I've got Pereira there playing as number 10 for an attacking Fulham side. So that is absolutely fine. But yeah, that's my team. Let me know your teams in the comments below. I'll try and reply to those as much as I can. Let me know what you think about my draft. Obviously, I've got, one or four players, you know, not locked in. I mean, I could end up doing something like Dean up to James, and then, you know, Neto down to Bailey, and then trying to find 0.5 somewhere else. But it's all kind of getting a little bit messy. I mean, one thing I did think about was starting with Haaland alongside Jesus rather than De Bruyne. That saves 0.5. Neto to Bailey, and then Dean up to James. So, you know, that'd be James, Bailey and Haaland versus De Bruyne and Neto and Dean, for example. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of one switch I'm already thinking about, and I might even have made it before this video goes out. But yeah, that's it. Good luck, everyone. Thank you for watching. Again, if you've enjoyed the video, give it a like. Give the channel a subscribe. Head over to fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. We've got brilliant stuff over there to help you with your final decisions. You know, we've got the pre-season minutes. We've got stats tables from last season. We've got the transfer planner. We've got the members video from Mark and Andy last night. So, yeah, head over, check it all out, and I will speak to you all very soon.